Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. So I welcome you with the awareness and the knowledge that we celebrate you. We are here for you, and we are here because we believe in you. We believe in one power, one light, one life that's showing up in, as, and through every one of us, so that God itself, spirit itself, life itself is being lived through you. And you have the absolute freedom and joy to choose how that life will unfold. So we are here to support that process, to celebrate that process, and to honor you for who you are and all that you have been and all that you have done. You are loved by a power greater than all of us, and you are appreciated by those of us in the Center for Spiritual Living. So we're very happy for you to be with us. We're happy that you know who we are and that you have the opportunity to know more of us and about us. There'll be more information on that later. But for right now, in order to get a bit in touch with what we're about, I'm inviting you to join me in reading our Declaration of Principle, which will show up on the screen. And it says this: I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. At this time, I will ask one of our practitioners to come forward and to speak to you. A practitioner is someone who has studied the science of mind and has studied these teachings and has proven themselves at having the ability to use these teachings, to use their own minds, to change their lives in a very powerful and positive way. They've also demonstrated that they can do that for other people. So a practitioner is someone who's been licensed by the Centers for Spiritual Living and recognized as someone who can do that for you and can work with you. And today we have a wonderful practitioner, one of the first people I met here when I first returned to Atlanta. He's been a great support and a great teacher for me and many others. And so I introduce to you without any further conversation, Lee Huffman.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everybody, or good evening, or whenever you're watching this. I hope you're all enjoying the little glimpses that we're starting to get of spring all around the world. Yesterday, it hit 81 degrees in Roswell. And since we're in Georgia, the humidity was 99.99999%. Today, at least, it's raining. The temperature has gone down a bit, but it feels like spring has sprung, and we're not quite into summer yet, but we're going there pretty fast. Last night was the beginning of the celebration of Passover. It runs through next Sunday, April 4th, and this holiday has long been said to commemorate the freeing of the Israelites from captivity and enslavement by the Egyptians. It also commemorates the protection by God's hands, or Yahweh's hands, which is also known for passing over of the angel of death during the 10th plague of Egypt. It was that plague, plus the 9 others before it, that caused the Pharaoh to say, I've had enough, please get out, I cannot fight your God any longer. And may not have been his exact words, it was like, I give up, go away. But they were free. And I'm going to come back to the idea that, did it change Pharaoh's mind, or did it change the mind of the Israelites? But over time, there have been many quotes about this season. So I'd like to read a couple. In the 13th chapter of Exodus, in the third verse reads, "Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day that you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast." Rabbi Bradley Shabbat Artson said, "Freedom is within our grasp." And Pesach, which means Passover, reminds us that all we need to do is reach to grab freedom. Yaakov Cohen said, "This is true freedom, our ability to shape reality. We have the power to initiate, create, and change reality rather than only react and survive it." How can we educate our children to true freedom? Teach them not to look at reality as defining their acts, but to look at their acts as defining reality. When I was looking for quotes to bring to this talk, I was struck by this mixture of ancient wisdom and new thoughts by the rabbis. What we believe here in the Centers for Spiritual Living is called religious science and is part of a belief system that's called new thought. But in reality, new thought's nothing more than ancient wisdom repackaged to remind us who we are and where we are. For the most part, we are not enslaved or under bondage, at least not by other people. If there is now, during this Passover season, a good time to let go and get free of anything that might be in bondage to us, like our own minds, then now is a good time to do it. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, frequently said that he did not create anything related to this philosophy or this teaching. He said that he brought it all of this amazing teaching together from the philosophies and belief systems and religions and spiritual truths that he could find around the world. But one of the major contributions that I believe that he brought was called spiritual mind treatment. I'm going to do a spiritual mind treatment for all of us this morning. The way it works is I'll speak the prayer in my own words. I will speak it for me. As you hear it, please take any part of the prayer that feels right to you. And any part that doesn't feel right, let it go. Let it fall on the floor. Got it? Great. Let's get comfortable. Which should be pretty easy since everybody's at home now. Let's sit up a bit, uncross your arms and legs, and be open to what Spirit has to give to you. I like to take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Get in a point of contemplation, and now I'll take another one. Please know this with me, if you will. There is only one God, one Spirit, one source of everything in the universe. God is referred to by many names, including Yahweh, Yeshua, the Christ, Spirit, Allah, God, the universe, Source, and so many other names. Right now, I choose to call it Source because I know that God was the source and is the source of all that is around me. In the beginning, there was nothing but Source. Source was love, and it created everything out of a desire to express love. It created everything there is today out of a single thought. As we say in our reading, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. That was a gift from Source. The ability to simply think and create my personal experience, it's such a gift. Although that gift comes with a responsibility, it's a responsibility to think clearly and wisely about the personal experience I desire to manifest for myself. I know this is true. When I am clear, I know A source responds to my thought with only one phrase, and that phrase is yes, and so it is. That is how source responds. Over 5,000 years ago, the Israelites were enslaved in bondage in Egypt. Their leader started thinking about that they wanted out. I might read the story of Exodus and think, Yahweh changed the mind of Pharaoh, and he set the Israelites free. But that is not what happened. Yahweh changed the minds of the Israelites. When they believed that they could be free, they were allowed to walk away from their bondage. To me, that is the story of Passover. So today, right in this instant, I believe that I am free. I am free of poverty. I am free of pain. I am free of addictions. I am free of bad habits that do not serve my interest. I know that I am free. Nothing can hold me in bondage any longer. Nothing can enslave me, not even my own mind. My every thought is creative. And in my mind and in my heart, I know that I am free from every single thing that would hold me back from understanding and attaining my highest potential in life. This is my Exodus. This is my Passover. I know this because I know in my mind and in my heart that nothing, not even my mind, my thoughts, my habits can enslave me. So right now, I release these words into the universe, knowing that source hears them all and says that response that I love, yes. And together with source, we say, and so it is. Thank you all. Isn't spring amazing? The renewal of life. New beginnings all around us. We have an amazing song that I believe you will enjoy. It is called Do What I Can by Sue Riley.
Look around, what do I see? Good or bad, it's up to me. My world reflects what I believe. Here's what I believe. I know there's good in everyone. I know the best is yet to come. Look out, world, 'cause I'm not done. I've only just begun to love like crazy. Shine like gold. Be courageous. Break the mold. Can do it all, but this much is true. I can do what I can do. I'll choose compassion over fear. Release my love into the atmosphere. Like a single wave in an endless sea. Any change begins with me. Gonna love like crazy. Shine like gold. Be courageous. I can do what I can do. When I feel I'm all alone, I remember one drop of water smooths a stone. Thank you. courageous, break the mold. Can't do it all, but this much is true. I can do what I can do. Do what I can do. I can do what I can do.
Good morning again, and welcome. I want to introduce to you our guest speaker for the day. It's Reverend Elisha Christopher, and he will be speaking to you on our topic today of continuing the transformation. In fact, it's the challenge for transformation. Elisha is one of those younger ministers who has really blossomed and come forward, bringing science of mind to new territory and new ground. He speaks our teaching in a language that in some ways is very much his own, and yet the principles underneath it and behind it are the same. He's a man of great joy, great enthusiasm, and love beyond anyone I know at this point. So it is a great pleasure for me to introduce one of my friends and favorite people in my world, and that is Elisha. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm incredibly grateful to be here with you all this morning. And one of the things that I always do everywhere that I speak is I have a very brief ritual. And so I want to invite us to take a moment to connect. And even though we're virtually spread apart throughout space and time, we're going to connect with our attention. And so we're going to do that by taking three breaths together. So if you will, just exhale first and take a deep breath in. And let go. Take another deep breath in. And let go. Take another deep breath in. And let go. And so, good morning. as you know, the theme across CSL and our shared themes for the month of March has been open to possibility. And we are moving, about to step into April. And the April theme is stepping into the unknown. And so we have this idea of we're starting with this conversation of being open to possibility, which is the invitation to then lead us to step into the unknown. And I want to start with this idea about being open to possibility, because it really speaks to something that is an incredibly important definition for me about what it means to truly practice the science of mind or religious science as I believe that Ernest Holmes intended. And that's the difference between what I call positive thinking and possibility thinking. That we have this culture that surrounds us in New Thought and Science of Mind and Centers for Spiritual Living that perhaps we think sometimes that this philosophy tells us that we are supposed to think positive, that we're supposed to keep our mind on the highest thought, that we are supposed to only look at good things, that we're only supposed to think about that which we want, and due to the nature of our attention, we can only look at the good. And I think that that's an important practice, but it's not the entire practice. I believe that invitation to only look at positive things, to only think about good things, to only think positively, can often lead us down a slippery slope that ends up in what we often call that spiritual bypass, where we just kind of smear a layer of it's all God or it's all good onto the circumstances in our lives or in the world or in our society that may actually need our attention. That may actually need our attention in a different way than just looking for the highest thought. And so I've been saying for the last year that I actually have been coming to believe that science of mind, that the invitation that Ernest Holmes gave us is not to think positive, but to think into what is possible. That possibility thinking is actually the deep power that we have in this philosophy that we call science of mind. You know, we have this process called visioning that perhaps you've been talking about over the course of the month. I know that in many of the centers that I've been participating in, the practice of visioning has really been sort of the uh, the discussion point that we've been moving throughout this month. And the first part of visioning is that process of asking that question, what is the highest divine idea that is seeking to be expressed in my life or in this situation or in whatever it is that's unfolding around us? And in that highest idea, really what we're looking for is the greatest possibility. That from where we are now, from this circumstance, from this moment, with all of the possible choices that are laid out in front of us, knowing that every choice we could make leads us down a different path, what is the greatest outcome that could come from this moment based on the next choices that I make, based on the next thing that I choose to look at? And if we recognize that possibility thinking, that seeking the highest divine possibility is different than just thinking positive or looking for the good. Because my friends, I don't know about you, but for me, in the last, I don't know, year and a half, as we've all waded through the experience of 2020, of our global and national politics, of all that has been happening in our world, there's been so much that has come up to really be embraced by our awareness and our attention that we can't just label as being all good and all God. That yes, we believe that it is all good, that there is a power for good in this universe that is greater than we are, that is driving and moving and evolving all things. But there is also the conditions of the world. There is also the manifestations of our collective consciousness that actually need our attention. That if we actually want to see something change, if we actually want to find that highest possibility and move towards it, I believe that in a big way, it's incredibly important for us to first acknowledge where we are, acknowledge the starting point, and then recognize the choice points that then expand out from there. You know, we say that energy goes where attention goes, that what we think about comes about, that the things that we focus on grow and become more available to our awareness, more available to our perception. I often say that the science of mind process is about engaging feedback loops, that there's a constant feedback loop between what we think and what we believe and what we see and what we perceive, and that our thoughts set up our expectation for what we're going to experience. And then when we experience that, it validates those thoughts. And as that process continues, we hone our awareness to continuously choose the world, the reality, the experience that's right in front of us. I've heard it said that, and I forget, it's either the original Greek or the original Latin, but the root meaning of the word decide means to eliminate all other options. Now think about that. If we live in a universe of infinite possibilities, of all choice, if there's a fractal of a multiverse shattered out in every direction around us, and anything is possible, infinite possibility exists within God, within the universe, within our consciousness. But as soon as we decide, as soon as each one of us makes a decision, as soon as each one of us makes a step, as soon as we make a choice, as soon as we move in a direction, as soon as we say yes or no to anything, we eliminate all other possibilities. And the one that we have claimed is the one that is right in front of us. And so there's this game of choice, this game of attention, this game of interaction with the universe that actually invites a deep and powerful choice and focus of our individual awareness. And in the visioning process, we always start with this question, what is the highest divine idea? What's the big picture? What is the greatest outcome that could come from this? But then you move through this process of asking a series of questions, and then we land on, what must I commit to? What commitment must I make to this vision, to this highest possibility, and how can I begin to make a movement towards it? And in making a movement towards it, we draw it towards us. Because as we know, that which we seek seeks us. I love to say that the universe is delightfully interactive. And as soon as we start to move towards an idea, that idea starts to move towards us. And I think it's incredibly important for us to engage this idea of looking for the highest idea and maintaining a vision and a course that's calling us, but also recognizing that there's action that's needed. You know, Ernest Holmes taught us, treat and move your feet. Look for the highest idea. Do your mental practice, but engage, 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 engage. And it's the interconnection of our focus and our activity that is the true recipe for creation and for manifestation. And I have to say that in order for us to ever get to this vision that we in Centers for Spiritual Living as a global organization have been holding, that our vision is of a world that works for everyone. That's our vision. That's what we're working for. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. And then we look at the world. Clearly, it is not working for everyone. That is everything that we have seen in this, especially in our nation in the last couple of years, from all of the movements that have come up, from Extinction Rebellion to Black Lives Matter to Me Too to so many more of these necessary conversations that are bubbling up from the surface, from under the surface of our collective consciousness, that are saying, okay, if we want to see a world that works for everyone, then we have to start by acknowledging that the world is not working for this group of people, and that the world is not working for the environment, and then the world is not working for these people, and that there are systems, that there are experiences, that there is that out there that requires our attention in a way that is going to transmute it, to transform it, to bring something else about. But we have to look at what is in order to seek what is next, in order to move towards what is possible. And there's a great unknown out in front of us in this sea of infinite possibility. But we have to be the ones to decide, to choose, to eliminate all the options that do not work and say, this is the path forward. Let us move on it together. You know, I have always recognized that there is racism in the world. And for much of my life, I thought it was something that existed in other people, that existed out there. And in the last year, 2 years, more and more has come into my awareness that has invited me to say, wait a minute, perhaps this idea that systemic oppression, that systemic racism, that this deep mental virus in our world actually exists, but it's not just out there. First, I have to accept, yes, it's out there. But then if I ever want to see anything change, it has to change in me in order for it to change in the world. And so there's a point in this conversation where then I had to embrace the fact that through my education, through my upbringing, through my privilege, through my choices, through my interaction with the world, that in some way I am responsible for this thing that I have seen out there, that there are ways that I have perpetuated it. There are ways that I have gained from it. There are ways that I have seen it and not done anything. And that I have to embrace the fact that if I want to see that thing out in the world change, then I have to first find where the threads and the cords and the roots and the pieces of it exist in me, so that I can begin to do the deep work and the deep questioning and have the conversations to then not only embrace the fact that it exists in me, but begin to seek to practice, to embody a different way of being, to embody what it means not to just acknowledge systemic racism, but be a person who is actively anti-racist, to be someone who is standing up against oppression, saying, you know what, there is a vision of a world that is calling me, where everyone is where we see the beauty and the love and the truth that exists in each person. But that can't just be a high and lofty ideal. It has to be something that informs my choices and how I stand up in the world and who I stand up with and for. And that when I seek to continuously embody an idea, to embody, not just embrace, but let it in, to seek to do the work, to make the change, I can eventually become a different point of creation than I was before. But that we have to recognize what is out in the world that's not working. We have to embrace the fact that we each have something to do with it. We have to embody whole new ways of thinking, whole new ways of doing, whole new ways of being, so that we can then become the change. We can become a new way of being. We can become the people who are choosing, who are deciding what the culture is, what our values are, what the world is that is emerging in front of us. And in that process, there's a commitment necessary. We have to commit to our desire for transformation. We have to commit to finding our piece of the puzzle, our way of participating. Because so often I find that for myself, for many, many years, for many people that I meet around our communities, we think that science of mind is something that we can practice passively, that we can just think good thoughts, that we can repeat affirmations, that we can show up in our community on Sunday and that our life is going to change, that the world is going to change. And it's not going to happen through passive attention. Creation happens through focus. Manifestation happens when our entire soul, our entire body, our entire being, our entire willingness is engaged in participating with a whole new way of being, with being a living act of transformation and change and movement forward. That when we wholly embrace this mind-body system as an agent and an agency and a possibility for creation and for the divine will to move through each one of us, something radical shifts. But we have to be deeply committed to our change, to our transformation, to our vision. But that vision has to be compelling. We need to be seeking the highest idea. We need to be looking for the greatest possibility as often as we can so that we have a guiding light. And then we need to step down into the circumstances of our lives, of our world, and then begin to reach towards and bridge the gap using our attention, our intention, our focus, our power of decision to choose to be a little different in every way. And so often, so many of us are so willing to really commit to the way things are. So often we commit to the conditions in our world, in our experience, in our beliefs. Many of us are so incredibly committed to ideas and ways of doing that maybe don't serve us anymore. And so really to look at what is our commitment, what are we focused on, what are we giving our energy and our life force to? I've been saying for the last year or so that I really believe that 2020 was the year of the great shakeup, that if ever there was going to be a global moment of transformation or a great awakening or a new paradigm shift or whatever those metaphors are, however we label that idea that everything could turn on a dime, that the world could change, that everyone could wake up. Maybe this is what it looks like. Maybe the transformation looks like absolutely everything that it doesn't work, that wasn't working, that needed to change, starting to unravel and crumble and fall apart. And as it does, each one of us get affected by a piece of that unraveling. And the thing that I want to say to each one of us as we contemplate these words today, moving into the next week and into the next year and into the future even, is looking back at the last year or so. And I want you to maybe close your eyes and think back into 2020. That there was COVID, that there was self-quarantine and isolation for so many of us, that our national politics were in a state of chaos, that the awareness of systemic racism and oppression and so much hurt and pain in our world got brought up to the surface. So much rose up, has risen up in the last series of months to be seen, to be felt. And I believe that for each one of us, in the last year or so, something has been stirred up in us powerfully, potently. And I want to invite you to think about what is the one issue, what is the one thing, what is one thing in your life, in your world, one circumstance? Is it maybe something personal, something inner, something in our society, something in the world that has been activated in you? And whether it's look for the thing that has been activated the most. Maybe it's a passion, maybe it's a joy, maybe it's a love, but maybe it's a pain or an irritation or a frustration. But each one of us, I believe, something has been moved in us in the last year or so. And that the invitation is whatever has triggered you the most, whatever has activated you the most, whatever has awakened you the most, that's your thing. That's your thing to look at. That's your thing to work on. That's your thing to commit to saying, you know what? The thing that has been moved in me the most is the thing that I will begin to pay the most attention to. And begin to ask into it, what is the highest idea? What is the greatest possibility that could come from this moved energy? And begin to contemplate it, begin to ask into it, begin to use this visioning process of asking, what is the highest divine ideal? What is the greatest outcome seeking to be? What could come from this? What must I accept? What must I release? And what must I commit to? In order to not just acknowledge that the issue is out there, but to embrace the fact that I could make it different, that it might exist in me somewhere, and then to embody a new way of being so that we can become the agents of change that we wish to be, that we wish to see, that we wish to awaken in the world. Let each one of us be the place where the paradigm shift happens, where the second coming awakens, where a new world emerges. Let each one of us be a place where a world that works begins to show up, because we're looking for it. We're willing to see it. We're willing to ask into every situation what could come from this. And seeking those possibilities, asking those questions, and ever so slowly and intimately and beautifully, we are drawn into the unknown by spirit towards the greatest outcome for all. But I believe on a deep and profound level, my friends, that it requires each and every one of us to wholly focus on how we can participate in the change. And so I invite you to feel that place in your soul, in your heart, in your life, or in the world that seems to be the most activated right now by the circumstances, by that which is actually physically happening in the world, in your world, in our world. And find the one thing that truly is alive in you. And ask today, how can I commit? How can I decide to eliminate all other options other than the greatest outcome? And today begin to move towards it. One step, one choice, one action. And so, if you will, my friends, I invite you to take a deep breath in and let go. If it's comfortable, I want you to close your eyes. As we breathe into the awareness that indeed there is only one thing happening, that there is one consciousness, that there is one life force, that there is one infinite presence that is living and breathing throughout the entirety of the universe, that there is indeed a power for good that is greater than we are. And my friends, I invite us this morning to remain in the awareness that indeed each one of us is being breathed by the universe, that each one of us is being lived by God, that the divine mind itself is focusing itself through each one of our intention, through our attention, through our decisions, through all that we are and all that we do. The spirit of life is channeling itself into this world. And so let us use the power of our decision-making, the power of our attention, the power that we have to look at that which has been activated within us, to see that which has been moved or disturbed or awakened, to find our deepest pain or our greatest joy, and to commit to moving into it, seeking the highest possibility, the greatest outcome, to seek the next step. That what is it that I must do in order to commit to what is possible so that we can be led into the unknown? So that each one of us can be a place where the highest outcome reveals itself in this world. Let us find that in this moment we can be grateful. We can celebrate that the spirit of the living God, that the powers of the universe themselves are coursing through our veins. Let us remember that there is indeed a power for good in this universe that is so much greater than we are, that it truly is that which lives and breathes and moves and evolves and unfolds all things. And yet it is who we are. And so let each one of us be a place where God shows up in the world and where creation is happening on purpose. Let us surrender to this power for good and let it move us in every way, in every day. And so it is. Thank you, my friends.
Thank you, Elisha. That was wonderful. And so we come to this moment where you get to participate in a different way, perhaps, by looking at what you want to do and how you would like to contribute to what we're all about. The Center for Spiritual Living is a nonprofit. We receive our gifts from folks like you who contribute in all sorts of ways. You contribute online through our website, cslmidtown.org. You can contribute through by sending in a check. You can contribute in many ways. And the point of that is that we believe thoroughly in a consciousness of prosperity. We believe that it is our nature to be prosperous. And it is our own thinking that makes the difference in how we prosper and how much we prosper. Our definition of prosperity is having the freedom to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, and in the style and manner you want. And anything less than that is coming from a limited way of thinking. So what I'd like to invite you to do is to contribute even more to your consciousness, to your prosperity, because given what we pay attention to, that's what we know expands and grows. So I invite you to pay attention to where you put your giving and your funds. And if that is appropriate for you, that we are included in that. So I'd like to ask you to join me in our affirmation of prosperity, that this is an affirmation of your prosperity, regardless of how you are living or where you're putting your money. So I invite you to read along with me as I share this. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Thank you very much. We have some announcements because there's a lot going on for Center for Spiritual Living at this time. We are coming up this next month on a brand new theme. That theme is stepping into the unknown. This has been something dear to my heart for a while as we have transitioned and managed this huge change that COVID has brought for all of us and for all of our organizations. So stepping into the unknown and looking at how we do that and what grounds us in our lives as we step into the unknown is what our next month's talks are going to be about. And next Sunday will be Easter Sunday, and it will also be, the talk will be entitled The Path Less Traveled. I'll be back with you then and enjoying that time with you to share. On Tuesdays every week, at noon, we have a spiritual empowerment session. This is an opportunity to take common everyday challenges and problems and apply spiritual solutions to them. And we do this in a conversational situation with anonymity. Nothing's recorded. It's all done in privacy. And I invite you to consider joining us at this same Zoom link on Tuesday at noon. Our next event after that is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We have our Wisdom Wednesdays continues, and that will be led by myself, and I will be doing the third in the series on visioning. If you haven't attended the first two, you are very welcome to the third. Each one stands alone in its own way and kind of builds as it goes. This week's is the practice, visioning the practice, and we'll dive a little more deeply into the how of it, as well as to do a visioning time together on that call. I want to thank all of our practitioners. They are the backbone, the strength, the foundation of the spiritual community called Centers for Spiritual Living. You already saw Lee today, and you'll see others in the future. You can be in touch with one through our website, cslmidtown.org, or those who are on the call or on Zoom right now at least are putting their information on and putting it up. So feel free to call them, reach out with them by email, and get the needs that you are feeling met by one of them, because they are pretty amazing people. They know what they're doing. Highly recommend. So thank you to everyone who's participated today, to all that this has been about. And I'm just so grateful that you've had this opportunity and have made yourself available to it, because there's always room for a better idea and an inspiration and a greater feeling. So as we close with our affirmation of life. And it goes like this. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need. I always get stopped on this one. Knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. Time to do a talk about that. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week.